Next item on the agenda is item number six. It's a presentation on Virginia's spend plan to distribute CARES Act fishery disaster relief funding. This spend plan was reviewed and officially approved by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Deputy Commissioner Ellen Bolin, please.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
I wanted to take just a few minutes of your time today to brief you on a pretty big pot of funding and some impacts to the fishing community from related to the COVID-19 pandemic. Next slide. So we're going to briefly go through sort of what the CARES Act did, MRC's outreach efforts, sort of what we looked at in terms of allocating the funds, and then the process that we have set up in terms of eligibility requirements and the application. Next slide, please. So it's been a while, but in late April, Congress passed the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, and part of that act was $300 million for fisheries disaster relief. It is worth noting that the fisheries industry was one of the few industries that actually got called out for specific funding. The airline industry was the other one. After about six weeks, NOAA then further allocated that $300 million to the coastal states and territories that qualified for the funding. Virginia's effective allocation of this was $4.484 million. And then to give you a sense, the estimated economic loss that we looked at in May was between $100 and $120 million, and that's just dockside value. That doesn't get into downchain results of sort of businesses, ICE, gas, fuel, et cetera. So it's not a lot of money for some pretty massive economic impacts for the industry. Next slide, please. So once we found out what our funding was going to be, we reached out to constituents via survey that was open for 2 weeks to get a sense of sort of the people who were most impacted and their thoughts around how to spend the money. So this just gives you a sense of who initially responded to our survey. We had about 500 responses, the vast majority of which were commercial watermen, aquaculture. The other category, we did have them specify what that was, and that was a few ecotourist boats. But we had about 500 people respond. To give you a sense, we have about 3,500 MRC ID holders. So not our entire universe, but a decent number of people.
Mr. Miner is on.
Next slide, please.
Not Mr. Francia.
This is one of the key questions we asked, which is, what is your revenue loss expected to be, and in which quarter? And again, as you can see, the second quarter, which was April to June, 90% of the respondents expected to have significant economic loss. And they expected that to continue into the third quarter of the year. We have seen a slight uptick in some of the markets, and the charter fishery, which had been shut down, is now back online. So we have seen a scaling up, but overall it has still been decreased compared to previous years, given the slow uptake, primarily in the restaurant industry. Next slide. This is the key question we asked, which is, how should we allocate this money? And sort of surprising to no one, the vast majority of people wanted direct payments to fishermen. Some of the options have, funds to support the fishery, small grants. So the reason this question is important is, unlike many previous disaster relief programs, the direction from NOAA was really to look at direct payments. This is unlike a lot of other fishery disaster relief, where it's not the fishery itself that has collapsed, it is the economy around it, which also creates it's unlike anything we've ever had to deal with either at this state or many others, because most of the tools that we have around disaster relief are not really applicable here. So typically we would often not consider direct payments because it can exacerbate existing capacity issues, but in this particular case, that is where MRC chose to focus. Next slide, please. So we wanted to make sure that we got quite a bit of feedback on this because, again, it is a pretty big initiative and funding for people who need it. So a couple of things we did. We set up a specific email very early on to handle comments and questions. We also convened a working group of members of existing advisory committees. We did that because it was just the fastest way to go. Typically, we just did not have the time to be able to solicit nominations for a working group and do all of that. So we used existing advisory committee members who we knew were knowledgeable about fisheries and represented all fisheries that were affected by the pandemic. And then once we did our survey, listened to the working group, we posted our draft spin plan online for 2 weeks to solicit feedback before we submitted to NOAA for the first round of comments. Next slide, please. So the big part of this, right, is how do you allocate too little money for too much economic loss? So we looked at three different options, and all of these are further laid out in the final SPIN plan, which is posted online. And there was a lot of discussion and back and forth, both internally and externally, over these. So I'm not going to get deep into the weeds on this. Because my main goal here is to just brief you on what we decided and what the next steps are for the industry. So the first step was just equal payments to all applicants. Everybody that applies, we take that number, we divide the amount of money we got, everybody gets an equal payment. The pros of this one are that it is much more streamlined for everybody involved. It decreases the amount of paperwork to the applicants. It means that MRC doesn't have to hire extra staff, and we can put all the money out to constituents. And it also just speeds up the process. We wouldn't have to wait for everybody to come in and then begin to look at all the economic loss. Second option was allocate a set amount of money to each sector. So when NOAA released the numbers to us, they also released their estimates of what each sector contributes to Virginia's economic impacts. And the way that they broke those sectors down was charter fishing, commercial aquaculture as one, and then seafood dealers and processors. And based on their data, charter fishing contributes about 4.9% to Virginia's seafood economy. Commercial aquaculture is about 58.6, and then commercial seafood dealers is the other part, about 40-something. So what we could have done is we could have taken sort of applied those percentages to the overall amount and then distributed sort of just to those people. This would have resulted in particularly the seafood dealers and processors getting a significant amount of money more than charter captains and commercial watermen. But what is important to note is even though it was significantly more than charter captains commercial fishing, what we heard from dealers and processors was it still wasn't enough to actually make a difference to their losses. You know, we were talking, depending on how we ran the numbers, maybe somewhere between $5,000 and $7,000. And we had a lot of, you know, we heard from seafood dealers and processors, you know, they lost hundreds of thousands, in some cases millions of dollars. So while it was not going to make a difference really to them, it could have definitely made a difference to some of the commercial watermen and charter fishing captains. So that was also part of our process. And then the third was a weighted formula based on impact of different sectors. And this one was sort of the hardest one to pin down. What we would have done is likely worked with an economist to figure out sort of which sector had been impacted more and sort of try to apply a factor to how we distributed the money. And this was panned pretty quickly by the working group, so we did not spend a lot of time on it. But our primary goal with all of this was to get the money out quickly, which I realize is a relative term, and to minimize the burden to the applicant and to try to minimize overhead costs at MRC. Because there was so little funding and such great economic damage, the idea of sort of trying to make sure it's, you know, we make up loss for people just wasn't an option on the table. We just did not have enough money. Next slide, please. Okay, so here's what we chose to do. Out of our money, we broke it down into two different categories. $3.9 million will be direct payments to eligible MRC ID holders. So that was another thing that we had to grapple with internally and externally is who qualifies in our universe. MRC, we know that there are about 3,200 licensed MRC ID holders in the commercial fishing space. And that is a known quantity. So we know these people, we verified that they're real people. The vast majority of them have mandatory reporting. So it streamlined the process. But we wanted to make sure that for those people who may meet all other qualifications that may not have an MRC ID holder, that they would also be addressed. Think deckhands, think people who work on aquaculture farms, et cetera. The challenge with that is we just don't know what that universe looks like. We just have no real sense of that because they don't have IDs. So what we chose to do was, again, for the vast majority of funding, we'll go to eligible MRC ID holders. And I will get into those eligibility requirements in a minute. And then we set aside $500,000 for appeals. So if you apply in the first round and we deny you, you can appeal that. And that's a requirement from NOAA. And then in that process, we will allow non-MRC ID holders to proceed. And the reason we chose to do it this way is that will allow us to get money out on a rolling basis. And we won't have to wait for all of those, to figure out all the paperwork on those non-MRC ID holders, because again, they will have a more significant paperwork burden. There will be more verification, et cetera. And then we also took $1,000 for postage because we are mailing notification letters to MRC ID holders. Virginia is one of the few states that is not taking any overhead funding to implement this program. We made a decision pretty early on to work with the staff that we have to try to get this done and to ensure we had a process that meant we had to take very little overhead. And that was a big goal of ours that we have so far been able to execute. Okay, next slide. So this just explains who's in our universe and sort of breaks it down by sector. Many people have more than one ID, so they fish obviously in multiple sectors. But this just counts the unique number of individuals that we have in our database. Next slide, please. Big question for many people is, do I qualify? And there are two sets of qualifications, some that come from NOAA, so they were stipulated in the CARES Act, or they come from the Magnuson-Stevens Act. And then the second is our set, MRC's additional criteria, so we can run this program. So the biggest one is that you've got to have an economic loss greater than 35% as compared to the previous five-year average over a time frame to be determined. So that's a lot of words. What it essentially means is you need to show a significant economic loss in Virginia from March 1st to May 31st. And where this gets additionally complicated is that some people have got unemployment, some people have gotten other CARES Act funding, and so we've gotten some back and forth from NOAA in terms of what counts and what doesn't. Because at the end of the day, the phrase they use is you can't be made more than whole. So we can't give you more money for relief than you would have made in a year. I don't think it's going to be a problem in Virginia because we got so little funding, but that was the source of a lot of back and forth and what really slowed down the process for Virginia and many other states. You need to be in a fishery-related business as laid out here. You got to be 18. NOAA added that specifically the downchain businesses are not eligible, and they listed those. And then what NOAA left up to the state's discretion is bait and tackle shops. We had a conversation internally, and we chose not to include bait and tackle shops. The vast majority of states on the Atlantic also chose not to include bait and tackle shops, again, because there's so little funding, and we just don't know what that universe looks like. And it's also tough to get into, like, what qualifies for, like, a local bait and tackle shop versus, like, a Walmart or a Bass Pro. And so we chose to just take those off the table early on, and we didn't get any pushback from anybody else on that. Next slide, please. So then we had to figure out what eligibility requirements does Virginia put in place so we can administer this to our constituents. So the first one is you've got to be in compliance, right? You can't have a license revoked or suspended. You have to be a state resident, and you must have an MRC ID for 2020 and must possess a license in one of these. The reason for that and the documented fishing activity in 2019 is that We have quite a few permit holders that aren't fishing. So there's some latent effort in our universe. We think about 1,000 permits. And we wanted to make sure that the people who were getting the money were people who were actually fishing and who relied on the fishing industry as their primary source of income. So you can also see that you must certify that 50% of your earned income comes from fishing activities. Next slide, please. So the question is, how do we actually do all this? When does the rubber meet the road? And how are we going to verify this information? So the first round is going to be for MRC ID holders. It'll be open for 3 weeks. A key thing I wanted to highlight here is this self-verification via affidavit. So what we are using for the vast majority of our applicants is an affidavit that they will have to sign that certifies all of the things listed above, that they're 18, that they're a Virginia resident, that they have 50% of their earned income from fisheries, that they've lost 35% of their income, greater than. And sort of in that affidavit, it will say sort of under penalty of federal investigation, you know, I certify these things are true, and I certify that if asked for additional documentation, I can back it up. It's not common, but it's a process that's increasingly being used in other disaster reliefs to sort of minimize the amount of paperwork and also just minimize the review burden for the applicant. So there is a pretty high level of self-certification on this. For a lot of MRC ID holders, we have mandatory reporting requirements, and so we can check that on our end. For a specific set of permits that don't have mandatory reporting requirements, they will be required to submit additional information. It says open for 3 weeks, but we don't have a date yet, and here's why. Because of the nature of the data that we have to collect, there's personal identifying information because this money is taxable, according to NOAA. We were already in the process of, but we had to wait for our new server to come online to be able to safely and securely process this information. So we are waiting, hopefully just a few more weeks, to make sure that that is all online and secure, and then we will open the process. So our hope is sort of mid to early October, but our goal really is to keep everybody's information safe. And then from this, they will have an appeals process. Next slide, please. So then the second round is non-MRC ID holders and round one appellants. So very similar process, open for 2 weeks. We have online and mail-in options, affidavit. For the reason we decided to maintain a mail-in option, that was slowed on the process, is that we have email addresses for about 60% of MRC ID holders, not to mention sort of everybody outside of that universe. So 40% of our constituents we still deal with exclusively by mail. And because of COVID-19 and a lot of additional facilities that would provide online access, local libraries, et cetera, are closed or have limited hours, we wanted to make sure we had a mail-in option and to reach as many people as possible. So we are sending to MRC ID holders, we will send out a letter to everybody that is qualified saying we think you're qualified based on our initial look at our databases. You can apply here. And we will also send a letter to people who we will say, you know, we don't think you qualify based on our databases. You know, you can apply during this round. And again, people who, non-MRC ID holders who apply will also have an appeals process. Next slide. Round three. Again, MRC ID holder appellants, that'll be open for 2 weeks. And we don't have dates on these, again, because we don't know when we're going to start because of the server. And then there will be a lag time between the application processes as we process the data and look at the applications. MRC is not actually cutting the checks for this. The Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission is the one administering the money, which is very helpful. They took a very small amount of money, I think like $36,000 off the top, to administer this, which is worth its weight. So they will be the ones that are actually sending the checks to people, and they are the ones that will be sending the tax forms next year for people as well. Next slide. So last couple of thoughts. Again, all MRC ID holders will receive the same payment. There was a question of if there are not that many non-MRC ID holders that apply, you know, of the $500,000, would that exceed the payment? The answer is no. The ceiling will be that of which MRCID holders get. And then if there's any leftover funding, we will just cut into, you know, equal checks to everybody. So there may be an opportunity to get more than one check. Again, I think the amounts will be very small as we go out. And then the last thing I wanted to say before we shift to questions, you know, this is something that is unusual for all states in that we are actually administering this fishery disaster relief fund in the middle of an ongoing fishery disaster. This doesn't happen and has not happened since we established fisheries disasters, the disaster provision back in the 70s. And this has required a significant amount of staff time. And while I am the one presenting to you today, I would be greatly remiss if I didn't acknowledge sort of the Herculean effort of the fisheries team and the IT team and admin and finance to figure all this out as we sort of try to build this plane while flying it. So I'm the person presenting, but there's a lot of MRC staff time behind that. And I'm very grateful for the team that we've had to work with on this. And looking forward to being able to actually open the application process and get some money out the door. And with that, I will take the final slide and any questions.
Deputy Commissioner, thank you very much for the presentation. I don't know if I missed it during the course of it. There's a lot of data in there, but I think it's also important to note that this plan that ultimately evolved was not one that we simply put together, was rubber stamped, and came out of NOAA. NOAA obviously had to approve it, and I think we went through three iterations. Is that correct, Ellen? Before,
yeah.
So it's not. And every time it was just something different, some more staff time and some more computations to make. I'm certain in this scenario that a lot of the things that we do at this commission, we try to make everyone happy, but it's an impossible task for that to occur. What we're trying to do is to provide the funds to those that need it the most, realizing that there are those that are impacted that could also argue they need it as well. But we tried to do the best we could with what we had to work with, which was not a whole lot of money. If you look at the money that was assigned to us, Ellen, I kind of wish you'd put a table up there or as to who got what. You go down the coast or whatever, we got what we got. Maine got $20 million. Even Georgia and South Carolina, I think, did fairly well. It was a really weird computation as they came up with it, but that's how we got the $4.3 million. Also, Ellen, I think it's important to note that I've read something that was somewhat inaccurate in the press. It said we were keeping, what was it, $1 million or something for VMRC?
Yeah.
Ellen has corrected that. What we took here was $1,000 for overhead and postage, and the rest of it was staff time and I don't have anything stashed away in a safe. So anyway, with that, we will we'll answer any questions by members of the commission.
Mr. Bowman, this is Christy Everett.
Ms. Everett, proceed, please.
First of all, to all the staff that worked on this, and Ellen, I can't imagine the lift and the timeline. I don't envy you, so great work. Just curious a little bit in terms of and I'm not saying this as we should have done it sooner. I guess I'm just saying if there are questions that we get about, you know, the timing, how does it compare to some of the other states? Obviously, there's different resources allocated. Like you said, some other states were taking a cut to administer it. Some have different amounts of money, of course. But just are we pretty in line with how the other states are able to get this funding out the door? I just didn't know how it compared relatively to that, just for awareness.
Thank you. That's a great question. I can only speak to the East Coast states. So we are on the earlier side of it. I think we were the fifth or sixth state to get our spin plan up to NOAA. The only state that has actually gotten money out the door, I feel like, is Massachusetts for one part of their industry, and because they did it as a different approach. They're basically being reimbursed for money that they had already spent from their state coffers. So I don't think any state has actually had checks cut. And several of the states that had submitted plans ahead of us, they had already gone through fisheries disaster relief in the past 2 to 3 years. So effectively, they were able to recycle their plans and let NOAA. It's worth noting that Virginia got our allocation end of April, early May, and we finalized our NOAA spend plan about a week, 2 weeks ago. Roughly 8 to 9 weeks of that was a combination of public comment and NOAA review. So while there was a lot of sort of internal work on this, there was also some pretty substantial amounts of time that we devoted needed to get the feedback from constituents, and then there was just a lot of back and forth with NOAA, as Steve alluded to. So I think we are in a pretty good position. You know, I do recognize that as fast as we wanted to move and tried to move because of the way this was set up, we are very cognizant of the fact that this money was needed in March. We understood that. We tried to get it out as quickly as we could, but we also know that there has been ongoing economic damage.
Well, and if I can add to that, Ms. Everett, we have, from the day that they said start working, we started working on it. And as you well know, the best laid plans sometimes don't work out, and that's not necessarily on our end. There was also some, I'm not going to call it confusion, but some difference of opinion at the federal level as we were designing our spend plans and how things should be and what should go on and, you know, what should even be in the affidavit that's provided, what the language should be, some legalese things. So the impediments that were present that may have caused somewhat of a pause for us to be able to get it out sooner, it was all, there's no blame to be laid, but it's been a work in progress for all involved, and I can assure you that we have not missed one single day of opportunity to have this very important project rolling down the pipe. So I thought it important to say that. Our spend plan was sent up a couple times and had to make revisions, but I believe that we are in the hopper just as fast as anyone else has been in an effort to send much needed relief to the constituency that we serve. So while I have not been having my finger on the tiller of this one, I can assure you I've been watching the heartbeat, and I know darn good and well they have been working as hard as they possibly can to get this out the door. So that's just my extra 2 cents to it.
Great. Well, great work. Just wanted to have that context in case it came up.
Thank you, Christy. Much appreciated. Anyone else have any questions? If not, Ellen, thank you very much for a great presentation. And to everyone involved, as you said, IT, fisheries, anyone that had a help in it, I really do appreciate it.